And that name is recognized even under the earth. I'm going to say in the dark regions of the universe, that name carries some weight. It pack a punch. And not only do every knee bow, and it's a coming day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess and going to come out of their mouth, hey, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Even the ones that don't want to confess it, it's just going to come up out of them. They're going to have to say it in so much glory and so much thought, they're just going to say, he Lord. he Lord, I can't do nothing about it. He just Lord. They ain't gonna be able to do nothing. Nobody can do anything about this. This doesn't happen. God has highly exalted him, has already given him this name that's above every name. And then number two, it is an excellent name. Now, excellent means that the name is supreme and that it is exalted. In Psalms 148, verse 13, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone, his name all by itself, is excellent. It is exalted and supreme. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. I'm going to tell you, this name pack a punch. There's a power and authority in it like no other. His name alone is excellent. Then Psalms 8:1, the Amplified Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic and glorious is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory on or above the heavens. So Jesus' name is a very powerful name, and it has to be honored and respected. In Acts 4:12, the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There ain't no other name that can save you. There's only one name that a person can get saved in, and it's Jesus. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. I show you the awesome power, the respect, and the glory that that name carries, that you can't get saved in nobody else's name but his. That's how much the Father has honored him and highly exalted him, that you can't get saved in nobody else's name. It ain't gonna happen. You can call all day long, all night. You can call for 15 years on some other name, and you ain't gonna get nothing. It's only the name of Jesus. So because of that, because his name is vastly superior and more powerful than any other name in the universe, then we have to honor and reverence and respect that name and not just use it so lightly and take it so lightly that it don't really mean nothing when we say it. We should only use his name when we mean business. We shouldn't be just flipping it around all over the place, because you lose respect for it. You make it common. You can't treat his name like it's common. His name ain't like everybody else's name. There's something unique about his name that the church is supposed to carry the honor of that name. In fact, the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Jesus, that means you call yourself that you're a Christian, that you call yourself by his name. He said, let everyone who calls his name, that calls themselves by his name, let them depart from iniquity. Because we're supposed to be carrying the glory of that name. We're supposed to be manifesting the glory of his name. That when we say in the name of Jesus, everything's supposed to come to attention. And people in the world are supposed to say, hey, something happened when they use that name. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know those seven sons of Sceva? This guy was a priest. He had seven sons, and they saw Paul use the name. Because when Paul used the name, something happened. Right? Why? Because Paul, he understands. He's the one wrote Philippians about the highly exalted. So he's carrying a honor and a respect for that name in his heart and in his soul, that he's only going to use that name when he's going to release his faith. And when he releases his faith in that name, things change. So those boys watched Paul use that name, drive devils out. You know, I mean, that's the highest use of the name, ain't it? Come against something you can't see. Come against something in the spirit realm. So they said, this fella, he got a devil. You know, they back then, they recognized demon possession, because they brought many people that were possessed with devils to Jesus. They recognized demon possession. They knew when somebody was crazy, had lost their mind, and they wasn't acting normal. They knew the devil had gotten a hold of them. Now we just think they got a chemical imbalance. They just born that way. You know, some of them people just need the devil cast out of them. I ain't saying all of them, because some of it could be medical. But, you know, a lot of this we passing off as medical is because we don't want to confront the devil that's there. So they fasten up in a house, seven of them, seven on one. We're going to cast the devil out. We command you in the name of Jesus that Paul preach about. See, no personal revelation, no fellowship. I'm coming against you in the one that Paul talking about. The devil said, I know Jesus. I know who Paul is. See, they recognize. They know. They know who got the authority. They know who's carrying the glory. They know who's carrying the honor of that name. He said, but who are you? I don't even know who you are. And you know, it's bad when you lock up to cast the devil out of somebody, and the devil walked to the door and he locked the door.
Ain't nobody getting out of here tonight. Y'all belongs to me.
And that's one of them fighting ones, you know. That's one of them fighting devils that fight. Just beat them up. It's one of them fighting kind, you know. Beat you up and take your clothes from you.
Strip them off right now. Take them off. All of them.
Okay. The first streakers wasn't in the 1970s. Streaking took place in the Bible. Because they left the house wounded and naked. They running from that house naked. Oh, yes, we call them the streak. Look at that. There they go. Fastest thing on 2 feet. Y'all remember that song from the 70s? Some of them young people don't remember that, but everybody wanted the streak back there in the 70s. Made a song about it. But you see, they wasn't carrying the honor of that name. They're trying to live off Paul's revelation, and it wasn't working. The devil didn't recognize the authority and say, you don't know Jesus. You know who Paul is, but you're not carrying no honor. You don't know the man. And I can look at you and tell you ain't got no glory in you. Now, Paul could have walked in there and say, I command you to come out, and he'd say, where you want me to go? Which exit do you want me to take? You know, when Jesus come up and say, come out, they say, do we have to leave the country? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. This happened in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus, please don't send us out the country. They know they gone. Yeah. The man done showed up. Yeah. He is the man. He got a thought. Did you come here to torment us before the time? You ain't supposed to be here right now. Yeah. It ain't your time, Jesus, to be messing with us. Wow. Jesus said, come out. Yeah. Okay, where you want us to go? Can we go in them pigs? Wow. Yeah, that's right. They know they coming out. Yeah. See the difference in authority? Yeah. See the difference in the understanding that when you know who you are And you know what God has given you? The impact is different in the realm of the spirit when you know what you're talking about, when you know that God's given you the authority to deal with principalities and powers and sickness and disease or whatever other situation going on that you can use that name. I'm going to tell you, when you have the proper respect and you carry the honor of that name, I'm going to tell you stuff going to happen. God's going to move because that name, listen, you can't have faith in that name and something not happen. How can that be? How can that be possible for you to have faith in the name and know nothing happen?
That's right.
When God honors his word, he honors his name, he looking for faith, how he not going to do nothing? How could he stand by, you got faith in that name, and he say, I ain't moving right now? No, he's moving. In fact, he the one nudging you. He nudged you to use the name. Listen, I stepped on CC's foot one time. I know I broke her foot. She couldn't walk. She couldn't put no pressure on it. I was getting ready to take her to the emergency room. I said, I know I broke your foot. She was crying in tremendous pain. And then the Holy Spirit say, you haven't prayed? So I say, Cece, sit back down here in the couch. Let me pray. And I grab that foot, and I put this hand under the bottom and this hand over the top. And I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, put these broken bones back together again. Heal what's been damaged. Let there be no swelling. I ask for it in Jesus' name. And then I felt this in my hands. So when I finished praying, I said, Cece, was you wiggling your toes when I was praying for you? She said, no, I can't move. I couldn't move nothing. I said, well, the Lord just put the bones back together again. I felt them when they rearranged in my hand. I said, get up. You can stand up on that now. I said, go ahead, put some weight down on it. She's got up and she's... She said, oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all right. Wow. All the pain was gone. I said, it ain't going to swell up either.
Listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all is worldly goods, to help feed the hungry, the poor, and then made the ultimate sacrifice of giving his body to be burned as a martyr for the name of Christ, for the kingdom of God. Even if he did all of that and did not have charity or love, then it says he profits nothing. Now, I think that's so powerful that it just goes over many of our heads, because what we're missing in what he's saying in these first three verses, verse 4 through verses 8, he starts dealing with what love is and breaking it down and what it's not. But before he gets there, he establishes the fact that he's not just talking about love in the abstract. He's not talking about love as the letter of the law, but love as the spirit of the law. So he's making clear here, though he abides by the letter of the law, meaning that he does what the law says to do, going through the actions and through the motions and going through the details and all of those things in the flesh, in his movement, but if his heart isn't in it, if he's serving but his heart is not in his service, if he's giving but his heart is not in his giving, if he's living supposedly as a believer but his heart is not there, he does not profit anything. And the believer must understand, it don't make sense to live in hell, go through hell, die and go to hell from the church house. That's the long way around to hell. You might as well just go on and enjoy yourself and not try to pretend and perform, because it's going to be worse on those who are pretending and performing. Plus, you miss out on the fun you could have had in the flesh, trying to act like you all of that. See, when you start acting like you are more than what you are, when you are more than where you are, and you have more than what you have, it's a pretense. And I got news for you. When you're filled with the love of God, you ain't got to pretend and perform. Better is a little that a righteous man has than the riches of the wicked. You learn to be satisfied and grateful to God with the little bit that you have, knowing that as you honor God and obey God, listen, he maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. You ain't got to be jealous of nobody, hating on nobody, being envious of nobody. If it's something you want, the same God that blessed him or her with it can bless you with it too. All of us were not called to be the same thing, have the same purpose, same function, same identity. God made each of us individually to be what he desires us to be. But here is the thing. With all of us, no matter who we are, high or low or anywhere in between, all of us who belong to him ought to be filled with his love, because he is love. We ought to be able to sense the desire of God through us because of his word, because of his will, because of his way, because of his spirit that resides on the inside of us. Listen, but too many of us have somehow caused what God is looking for to be etched out of their lives. And we know how to play church on Sunday. But the truth of the matter is, God is watching us, and it's not just that church. And God wants us to be able to demonstrate who he is everywhere we are. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them. We are Christians, born again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, a called out body who's not ashamed to tell you what's on the inside of us. Why? Because what he's done for us, we could not do for ourselves. Now look at verse 3, and then I'm going to move on right quickly. Because verse 3 again says, and though I give, I bestow all my earthly goods to feed the hungry, to feed the poor. Listen, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, he moves from one sacrifice to the ultimate sacrifice. He gives all of his worldly goods. He bestows them. Nobody takes that away from him. He gives it. He renders it as an offering. He willingly lets it go for the purpose of feeding those who are less fortunate. And that's honorable. That's honorable. But here, beyond the action, Paul deals with the motive. You see, what we don't realize is man judges the outward appearance. Somebody see you do a good thing. Oh, that's a good man. Oh, that's a good woman. They do such and such. But the question is, why are they doing such and so? Would they do it if somebody were not paying attention? Would they do it if nobody would pat them on their back? Would they do it if nobody were able to give it back to them or give them accolades about it? What is their motive? And see, when you begin to recognize that your motive should be love, love prompts you to do good. Love prompts you to help others. When Jesus gives the illustration about the Samaritan and the Jews, and the Samaritan being beat down, and Jesus talks about how all of these folk pass by on the other side, but the Samaritan stops and he helps this man and brings him to the inn and leaves money so that he could be taken care of, and on his return trip stop back in if he's made any other charges before he gets back to bless him. He said, now which one of these were neighbor to this man who fell on bad times? And they had to say, not his own kin, not his own people, but the person that was supposed to not be someone they cared for. But love made him reach beyond ethnic lines, racial lines, beyond all of the divides that said, wait a minute, this man is in help and might die without my help, so I'm going to put all this petty stuff aside and help him. Love makes you do things like that. And so Jesus makes clear to us, and Paul reiterates this because he's trying to help us understand, we've got to learn how to get beyond the letter of the law only and get into the spirit of the law. Love, love, not just because it says love, but love because it is a part of who you are. And so when he does deal with this point as it relates to him giving up everything he has, and he deals with that motive, he says, or if I give my body to be burned. Notice again, nobody is forcing him. He's willingly sacrificing his body to be burned as a martyr. Perhaps he may be stepping in for someone else. Perhaps he may be showing them a greater cause, for the cause of Christ, that Christ might be lifted up in his witnessing, whatever the case may be. But he gives his body to be burned is the ultimate sacrifice, because when he's through doing that, there is nothing left for him to do. And when they look at this, Paul says, and with all that he has done, listen, and have not love, it profited him nothing. Profited him nothing. So my brothers and sisters, if you are going through the motions, I'm just trying to tell you, save your time. I don't care whose name is on the church roll. If the real church is not in your heart, save your time. I don't care what boards or what ministries you serve in. If you're just going through the motions and you're just doing what you can do because somebody asked you to do it, and you just again walking through those things, but it is not because it is a call upon your heart and your life, and you do it because you love God and you love the brethren. Listen, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you recognize that, when you love them because Christ loved you with an everlasting love, you freely receive, so you freely give. I thought this message might be quiet today, but I'm going to preach it even the longer. Because we're going to preach the hate and the hell out of some folk here today. Listen, listen, because here is what you need to know. You, listen, many times stand in the way of other folk blessings when you go through the motion just playing. Somebody's on their way out of here and they need some help and they need some support and they need somebody who's real. The reason why Jesus got rid of the fig tree when it advertised that it had figs on the tree was because folk were traveling and they were hungry and it was the last resort, and they lost time on the road, getting off the road, going, look at the tree, only to find out it wasn't a fig worth eating on the tree. And when you keep on with all that false advertising, because that's all it is, God gets upset about that foolishness because some people turn away and never come back again. But he says, it profited me. So my question is, why do you do it? What's in it for you? Because if you're doing it for man's praise, I'm going to tell you another thing. You might as well save that, because man is so fickle, he'll praise you with one tongue and turn around with the other one and curse you out. He'll holler, Hosanna, Hosanna on the one hand, and then turn around and say, crucify him on the other hand. And so it really profits you nothing, meaning nothing in the eternal realm of God. You might fool some folk down here, but guess what? You ain't fooling everybody. And you're not fooling God at all. At all. So you need to tell him, give me a clean heart, a sincere heart, that I might teach transgressors your ways. You need to be real with God so that everything that you do winds up being a blessing and a profit to you, not only here, but in the hereafter. And then if you had time to go through the rest of the verses, which we do not have time today to do, I admonish you to go through them and see all that Paul is talking about. And then he gets to that 13th verse and he says, now abideth, and now abideth, faith, hope, charity, these three. And now abideth. Let's pause right there. And now abideth. Now abideth as opposed to what? opposed to everything else that he just got through talking about.